Hi, this is Mike Quackenbush, director of fun at Chikara, and you're listening to Mayhem Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering the podcast ring at this time, with a combined weight of 860 pounds, are the new tag team champions, the Super Size Guys. First, representing This Week in Geek and hailing from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman. God.
Somebody stop the damn match!
And his podcasting partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is TFG1 Mike Blanchard. These two podcasting giants have joined forces in the World Podcasting Federation. This is Mayhem Mike's. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mike's on the Geekcast Radio Network and This Week in Geek. I am Mike TFG1 Blanchard, and this is our first interview on the Mayhem Mike's podcast. For those of you who don't know, for those of you who do know, this is the GCRN Twig. I've stuck with WWE because that's what I know. We review the WWE pay-per-views. We talk about Raw and SmackDown and all that stuff. But this is our first interview, and I have with me Mike Quackenbush from Chikara Pro. Hello, sir.
How are you, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Mike. Thank God the third Mike isn't here, because then it would be really confusing.
Yeah. It's probably best as a dialogue.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? So we are here, Jason, what is his last name? Jason set this up. I'm not even sure how he found out about us, because he sent an email to the GCRN servers. Anyway, he asked us if we could check out Chikara, and I was like, yeah, sure, hey, you know, whatever's going to work, And I checked out some of your all stuff, and it looks really, really awesome. One of the things that he said that in his original email was that you guys take wrestling and give it like a comic book kind of flair. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think he really hit the nail on the head with that. Because I grew up as a lover of comic books, a collector of comics, and just an aficionado of like superhero culture at large. Like, if there was a cartoon about it, if there was a live-action series about it, I had to watch it. The magazines that were about it, I had to buy them. Even the stuff that predates Wizard, like, if you remember Comics Interview or Comic Scene, I was just ensconced in all of that. And so that affects everything that I kind of help create. It's inherent in all forms of my creative expression, and one of those is Chikara. So the pro wrestling that I like to make is most like a comic book. The themes where these things intersect one another are most obvious, and I'm sure I don't have to preach that to you, based just on the fact that your avatar has you in a Nightwing t-shirt. I'm sure that you understand that, right? Good versus evil, people wearing crazy colorful costumes, superhuman feats of strength and agility. These kind of morality tales are super familiar to us as lovers of comic books. And sometimes pro wrestling can kind of very neatly map itself over that. And of course, there's certain flavors of pro wrestling that don't. But Chikara, most specifically, and even embodying the kind of sequential narrative that you get from month to month with comic books, that runs very heavy through our veins.
Right, right. So you guys started Chikara around 2002, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right, yeah. We're just about 15 years old now.
Yeah. In that time, did you ever realize that it would be what it is today?
Not in the first year or two. The first year or two were really just about paying the bills and keeping our head above water, but it eventually had to morph into that. I think it was inevitable. If I had the opportunity to make professional wrestling, it would be as akin to a comic book as it could possibly be, because those elements are what made me a wrestling fan in the first place. I became a fan in the early 90s, as Hulkamania was kind of on its way out, and they were starting this new thing of theirs called the New Generation. There were a number of characters in that time period that were very, very comic booky. That's where Papa Shango comes from, and Max Moon, the Repo Man, Skinner, the Alligator Man, et cetera, et cetera. Those characters really captured my imagination. And once I saw some of the Japanese characters like Jushin Thunder Liger, whose costume, oftentimes when people see it for the first time, they say, that's like a live-action Power Ranger they're observing. When I saw all those points of intersection, I thought, oh, man, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to make.
Right. As you were growing up in that era, who was your favorite wrestler at the time?
Well, the first character that I think really got me to watch was Jake the Snake Roberts because of the way that he spoke. He had such a quiet magnetism to him. But I was really inspired by the High Flyers, especially the 1-2-3 Kid, the late, great Owen Hart, and the aforementioned Jushin Liger.
As you've gone on and you've created your own brand, how much of other pro wrestling do you pay? I mean, I know you guys have to pay attention to a lot of stuff, but how much of it do you actually pay attention to, whether it's in-ring or behind the scenes?
The behind-the-scenes stuff really doesn't interest me. I think we all go through a phase where we have like a taste for that sort of thing, and then you just kind of, you know, you mature a bit and you grow out of it. It's not especially relevant. The in-ring stuff, I like to pay attention, especially when I know my friends are involved. For example, probably the most famous trainee to come out of our Wrestle Factory now wrestles as Cesaro for the WWE. So when I know he's going to be, you know, in something on television or pay-per-view, I'm supremely interested to watch. Earlier this year, for example, I had a week where I was brought down to the WWE's Performance Center in Orlando, Florida, and I got to coach the NXT guys and girls. I got to do some consulting for them. So when something exciting involving one of these people that I got to help coach should pop up, of course I'm intrigued to watch. I really want to see them do well, and I want to see them excel. All that's very exciting for me. But outside of that type of stuff, man, sometimes it can just be hard to make time to watch. There's so much other great media, and I think part of your job as a creator, whether you write comic books, whether you write professional wrestling or whatever it is, you've got to be out there. You know, you've got to go and see what movies are current. You need to watch the kind of pop culture that people are excited about right now to always kind of have a sense of what the landscape is, and that means as much watching an HBO series as it does watching SmackDown.
I will agree and disagree because I'm sorry, I'm not paying for HBO. if HBO had a deal with Hulu, which I already pay for, sure, great. But no, I'm not paying extra for HBO. You know, everybody's like, oh, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones. The only thing I know about Game of Thrones is Sesame Street's spoof, Game of Chairs. Mm. You know, it's just, that's just how I am, I guess. All right. Outside of, okay, when you were younger, before you got into the whole, you know, before you obviously created, I believe it was you and a few other guys that created Chikara, correct?
Right. My old business partner and traveling mate, Reckless Youth, Tom Carter, and I started the company. And then about 8 months in or so, he resigned from the organization.
Right. So before this happened, when you were younger or when this was just about to happen, can you pinpoint the exact thing, the exact moment where you were like, I want to create my own thing?
Yeah, absolutely. We had spent a number of years, Reckless Youth and I, traveling the independents from coast to coast in the United States, and we became the malcontents of the independents. We would complain about, we could do this better. Right? We would go to these locker rooms or to these other organizations, and we were just convinced we could do it better. We could promote this better. We could book it better. We could run it better. We could organize it better. We had all these brilliant ideas. And eventually we got to a point, I think, where we had just annoyed everybody else, and we reached our put up or shut up moment. You know, if you've got so many great ideas, it's really easy, and more so now in the age of you know, the ubiquity of the internet, to just complain and complain and complain about everything that you don't like. And I think our decision was, you know what, we can continue down this path. And although this term wasn't popularized at the time, we would have ultimately just turned into trolls. Instead, we decided to channel what we had into making something new. Why don't we create something that is our statement for how we think things should be, rather than complaining in a car to our two buddies who are beyond sick of hearing us complain, or going home to our significant others and complaining to them about, oh, we could do it better, blah, blah, blah. We had our put-up-or-shut-up moment, and that came in the summer of 2001. About 6 months later, we opened our doors at Chikara.
Right. What was the, for those that don't know, for those that weren't paying attention back then, for my listeners that may not know too much about Chikara, what was some of the first storylines, some of the first celebrities, some of the first pro wrestlers that you guys had going at that time?
Well, because we were sort of waiting for our first class of graduates to be ready to perform, we had to fill a lot of the slots that we had on our early cards with friends of ours. So we would ask a carload of our buddies from the Midwest to come in, and we'd get a carload from Chicago. Or we'd ask a couple of our friends from Pittsburgh to drive in, and they would fill in these vacancies on the card while our first graduating class of students were getting ready. But as I mentioned, like, man, in those early years, it was a lot of throwing everything against the wall and seeing what would stick. There was no formula. It was really about, how are we going to pay the phone bill in 6 days? Or what are we going to do to prevent the electricity from being cut off? There wasn't a lot of master plans. And a lot of the things we became famous for later, you know, really intricate storytelling, even some of our virtual, or I should say some of our viral marketing or our ARG type stuff, that doesn't start to happen for years. We really had to get comfortable and understand it's totally okay for us to break all the rules before we could go and do it.
So what was the point where you actually went and broke all the rules?
I think we just kind of decided that we can tell one continuous story. And for us, that story begins in the early part of 2005 with a giant tournament we staged called the Tag World Grand Prix. Since that moment, we've told one continuous story. And that story always honors its pre-existing continuity. I feel like WWE, oftentimes their television product, insults you if you have a good memory. And as a comic book fan, I'm taught to have a good memory, right? If I've missed a plot point, when I used to read comics, there'd be a footnote, and the editor would leave, you know, an annotation there. Did you miss this? Well, you need to read Marvel Team-Up number 124 to know what's going on. You needed to know the whole story. And right. I think it's really, really important to maintain that continuity for the people that go on the long journey with you. I'm not a fan of soft reboots. I'm not a fan of hard reboots. Don't give me that new 52. Don't give me that all new, all different. I don't buy it. One continuous story, one narrative that I can follow from start to finish, that's what my comic book loving heart craves. And with Chikara, that begins in February 2005.
So you don't want to go down the rebirth canal?
Well, you know, I did give it a try, and I read what was the most paint-by-numbers Justice League of America I've ever read. I could have written it half asleep, that new Justice League number one. I did like the first of the Batman books, and, you know, their rebirth special, which hopefully this isn't spoiling anything for your audience, which seemed to flirt with the idea that they're going to drag Watchmen's continuity into the main DC universe. You know, it just barely managed to get me interested. So I've grown really tired of that, the constant reboots and how much of the continuity is being disregarded. And, you know, these characters that you grew up and loved and were taught don't really age in the books, you know, all of a sudden have aged out of their jobs. And we need constantly younger, more diverse casts and everything else. Like, to me, I don't know, it smacks of a certain laziness. And I realize that the priorities of Warner Brothers and Marvel Entertainment have changed over the years. These are now movie studios who also just happen to make comic books. But that sort of attitude isn't what made me a comic book fan for the last 30-plus years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, between the Warner Brothers and the Warner sister and the mouse that runs the house now, it's all marketing. Mm-hmm. For me, I've, as you mentioned, with the giant Nightwing logo on my Avatar's t-shirt, I am a huge Dick Grayson Nightwing fan. I have been since Batman the Animated Series, since he was Robin and then became Nightwing and everything else. So when Forever Evil came around and they killed him, I essentially killed DC. I dropped everything except for their He-Man title, because that was the only company doing He-Man because they had the license. And then they tried to make him the Nick Fury of the DC universe. And I'm just like, no, Dick Grayson does not need to be a spy. So I'm hoping, I have yet to check the new Nightwing series, but I'm hoping they kind of brought it back to what it should be. Growing up, reading all these comics, doing all this superhero stuff, how does that translate to what Chikara is now?
It's a direct reflection. I'm a guy that grew up on Louise Simonson's X-Factor, and I read the Justice League International. I mean, in a really strange point of intersection, one of the people now on our crew that works very closely on all of our projects is former DC editor Ruben Diaz, who was the editor on Grant Morrison's defining JLA run. So there's tons of points of intersection, especially with the superhero community. And you even see it played out. Some of our most famous DVD covers are direct homages to my very favorite comic book covers. There's constant allusions back and forth as if it were one gigantic shared universe where all these ideas and concepts from comic books are not just valid, but honored.
Yeah, absolutely. So someone coming into Chikara now, like if you guys send someone to your website or to your YouTube channel or wherever, what would you suggest they start with watching first?
Well,
I mean, I know you said that the story is one continuous story, but I'm the type of person that I have to start from the beginning on anything. So as someone who might be a WWE fan that wants something fresh and new and different and looking towards Chikara, where would you suggest they start?
Well, I do think our YouTube channel is a great place to start. We post up a free match every Monday on our social media. On our YouTube channel, at the top of the summer, we had produced a 5-part Previously at Chikara as a nice new entry point for a bunch of people who were just kind of joining on with us around the time of our most recent UK tour. We're constantly looking for ways to try and make it easier for people to jump in because, not unlike Doctor Who, we often hear from fans who say they're daunted by our continuity. You know, they would say, and justifiably, I'm not going to go back to the Tag World Grand Prix 2005 and watch it forward. But, you know, we do break Chikara up into seasons. You could watch just season 15 and be completely fine. It will tell you a complete story from the season premiere to the season finale. You'll get one entire story there. And there's other fun ways that you can kind of dip your toe into the pool, right? You could check out one of our graphic novels. We sell them on ChikaraPro.com. You could get a free week of streaming from our Netflix-like service. It's called ChikaraTopia.com. You could spend that week, you could watch a couple from this season, watch a couple from that season, see if something grabs you, what characters really jump off the screen and engage you. Any of those are fine entry points into our universe. And it's a very welcoming community. One thing I do love about the Chikarmy, as we call them, is they don't really kind of like wield status within themselves, you know? I often used to feel that when I would sometimes go to conventions. I was very much the guy that would look through quarter bins trying to fill in the gaps in like my Jack Kirby Black Panther run. And I never liked the status that I used to see at conventions. Like, oh, I know a certain amount of information or I have a certain level of expertise and this makes me better than you. Whereas what I really admire about our fan base is how welcoming they are and how quickly they want to help somebody new get up to speed. Like, hey, what's going on? Oh, let me fill in the blanks for you. And they don't really wield that with any sense of entitlement, which I find to be very refreshing. Oftentimes, as a community, pro wrestling can be a little closed.
It can be a little closed and it can be a little pitchfork and torchy.
Right? Which is crazy, right? Like, did you grow up as a wrestling fan or did it find you later in life?
I'm trying to remember. All as I remember is my dad taking me to at least one or two Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper matches. So I don't remember which ones they were. I know it had to have been late 80s, 87 to 89, somewhere around there. It might have been earlier. It might have been 86 because I think, yeah, it was probably 86 or 87 when I was 6 or 7 years old because he had moved down here to Kentucky. I'm in Kentucky now. I'm originally from Massachusetts. He had moved here to Kentucky after he remarried in 87. So, but I remember going to a few WWF events. For those that don't know or might be listening for the first time, WWE used to be WWF. So, I remember seeing Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper, and I remember seeing, I think, Andre the Giant once, and I remember seeing Junkyard Dog once. So, and I would always watch. I don't remember what half of it was, because really, the only as a kid, the only person I really cared about or was interested in was Mean Gene. I loved his interview style.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I found it when I was a kid, and then other interests took over. I didn't pick it back up again till about 98 to 2001. So somewhere around the Lita, Hardy Boys, you know, that era of WWE. And then I stopped from 2001 or 2003. I picked it back up. No, 2001, 2007. Because 2007 was WrestleMania 23. And I picked it up at WrestleMania 23, and I haven't stopped watching. I've watched most of the stuff. I'm pretty much the person that likes the polished product. Mm-hmm. I know that probably sounds bad, but I like watching Raw and SmackDown and all that. I generally prefer Raw over SmackDown, at least from 2007 to most recently, because, let's face it, SmackDown has always been second-rate joke show, especially the Vicky Guerrero years. I had it when I was a kid, but I lost it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for a lot of people that discover it young and stick with it, what they tend to discover is that, you know, there's a certain stigma associated with being a wrestling fan. Even during the years where I ate, slept, and breathed pro wrestling from a fan's point of view, while you would often see me walking out and about in an X-Men or Ghost Rider t-shirt, you would have never seen me out and about wearing a WWF t-shirt. And to find that, you know, now in the age of the internet, right, every niche subculture has its community. What's great about experiencing pro wrestling live is that sense of community. Being in a room full of people that love the same weird thing that you do. And that's even, you know, further funneled down when you talk about the exact subculture of Chikara, because here is where the Venn diagram between superhero culture and professional wrestling encompasses the biggest possible audience. So there's a lot of shared interests that we see within our audience. And I think that's why the bonds of community that they form there are as strong as they are. We know we are a strange flavor of professional wrestling, right? WWE is the most popular flavor in the world. They are vanilla. They're the best-selling ice cream flavor in the world. But if you go down the row at Baskin-Robbins toward the end of the cooler, there are some strange colors down there. There are some weirder flavors. And we're way down at the bottom. We're that weird rainbow ice cream that you're not sure that you're going to like. And believe me, we know we are not for everybody. But it's also kind of like this. Some people, they want to go and see giant arena bands, right? They might only ever go and see U2 in concert when they come around playing to crowds of 50 to 100,000 people. But there are people out there that have a real appreciation for that outstanding little act that plays down the street at a local bar every once and again. Our experience is going to be more like watching Eric Clapton unplugged than it is going to be seeing, you know, Journey rocking it out in the middle of 85 in front of a sold-out Madison Square Garden. And there are some people for whom, you know, this type of experience is how they want to experience pro wrestling, where the wrestlers diving out of the ring literally land in your lap. And for some, like you said, right, the polish, nobody can touch the production values of the WWE. Nobody has television stars the way the WWE does. If you want to see Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, you're certainly not going to see him down at the local VFW hall doing something.
That's where he belongs, honestly, but that's my personal opinion.
What we make, you know, it's a very unique flavor of wrestling. And we do realize it may not be for everybody, and we're totally okay with that.
So tell us about some of the stars you currently have, like some of the storylines that are currently going on.
Well, some of the characters that we have, first and foremost, the one that jumps to mind immediately is Princess Kimberly, the princess who saves herself and was most recently the grand champion of Chikara. She made history for being the first woman to hold the main championship in a male-dominated organization. That's possible because at Chikara, we have abolished all division by gender, species, or weight class. It's equal rights and equal fights, and it's been that way for 13 years at Chikara. And back at our season 15 finale, Princess Kimberly captured the grand championship from Hollow Wicked. Hollow Wicked and his followers, who are all under the influence of a supernatural being called Nas Muldoon, represent very dark, black arts type characters, especially for those with a taste for sorcery, or I think the dark arts are a fine way of saying it. This is a group of characters most likely to appeal to you. And we've got some characters, too, which are very lighthearted. Los Ice Creams jump to mind, two anthropomorphic ice cream men who are maybe the least effective tag team in all of history. They may or may not have once gone 9 years without winning a match. So there's a real panoply here. There's a weird cornucopia. And you can just kind of surf through our roster page, and I think you'll immediately start to get a sense of what these characters are like. You can really just take one look at them and you'll start to realize, like, I think I understand what that is. I think I understand what makes Soldier Ant different from Oleg the Usurper, the Mad Viking Warrior. And you don't have to read pages and pages of backstory to get it.
Right. You mentioned Hollow Wicked. I saw one of the matches with him recently in preparation for this. And as soon as I saw him, I'm like, hey, paint that guy purple and it's Skeletor. I'm not being insulting here. I'm just saying that's like the way his headdress is, the way the body armor was before he took it off. I'm like, yeah, paint that guy purple. He's Skeletor. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Soldier Ant. How many ants are there? I know there's Soldier, Fire, and Bullet, right?
There's Soldier, Fire, Silver, Bullet, and Worker. There's five of them all together at the moment, and there's some that used to be. For example, Missile Assault Man once had a mask, but he lost it. And so now his face is revealed to all. He can never put the mask back on. And that way we respect the traditions of Mexican Lucha Libre, which is American pro wrestling's weird cousin from the South. And the kinds of things that you observe about that, right? Little nods here and there. For example, the Thunder Frog has a gigantic hammer of peace that only the worthy can lift. You'll see very obvious points of intersection with things that we know and love from nerd culture. You and I were talking a little bit before we recorded, just thinking too, we had put out for reasons that are virtually crazy, I guess you could say. It was a very ambitious project of ours. We put something out that was basically a movie, and on the soundtrack for that, we had Stan Bush recorded a song. He did the theme song for our first iPay-per-view called High Noon, and he performed live at the King of Trios that was themed after Gen 1 Transformers. So there's a lot of weird points like that. I mean, even the King of Trios that was just 2 weeks ago framed around Pokemon Go, you can tell has a very deliberate and obvious finger to the pulse of a certain type of fandom. And if that sort of thing sounds like you, then we're probably your flavor of ice cream.
You want to know the funny thing is? When I talked to Stan a couple of years ago, he mentioned the King of Trios thing at the time. Mm-hmm. And I just made the offhand comment of, oh, that's cool, that's awesome, you know. I didn't know what the heck it was until I started looking through murals. I mean, I knew it was a wrestling event. I didn't know who it was, like, I didn't know who put it on or anything like that, so it's funny. You guys based a event around Pokemon Go, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am so anti. I am like, stop Pokemon Go. That game, for me personally, I've never played it, but just the whole one-sided aspect of it is like, gotta catch them all, gotta catch them all. None of the stories I've ever seen online tell you about what happens after you catch them. They don't tell you about the battles. They just tell you about some guy in San Diego who nearly died falling off a cliff trying to catch a Charmander or something. That game. That just irks me beyond belief. I don't know why. It just does. What is... Okay, so you created all of this, and you're into the superhero culture, and, you know, you guys are making matches and everything else. Do you actually wrestle in anything with Chikara? Do you have a character on the show or anything like that?
Well, I am retired. I was an active professional wrestler for 20 years, and I was very fortunate. I got to meet and, if not wrestle with, all of my heroes, with the exception of Owen Hart. I got to travel the world. I went to Canada, Mexico, Japan, about 30 U.S. states, and a couple dozen tours of Europe. I was very, very fortunate to have the active wrestling career that I did, but unfortunately, I was slowed down by a string of injuries over the years, and eventually it just made the most sense for me maybe to clear a path for somebody else to have a spot on the cards. So with only one exception, I've not wrestled in the last 3 or 4 years. However, I do function as Chikara's director of fun. So we've sort of reinvented the very tired trope of a general manager or otherwise authority figure in wrestling, and it is that. I serve as the director of fun now, and you can also hear me at Commentation Station. If you, for example, checked out King of Trios, if you wondered who that guy was calling the matches with Joey Styles, that's me. That's Mike Quackenbush live from Commentation Station. And, yeah, I'm, in addition to doing things like this, getting the good word and preaching the gospel of Chikar to anybody that'll listen.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. What is your opinion of the current state of the WWE?
I think it's fascinating. I think this is the most interesting they have been since they the collapse of WCW and ECW. They are giving an opportunity to the kinds of talent that they at one time never would have looked at. They're taking more risks. I think the Cruiserweight Classic is a fine example of this. And they're finally becoming comfortable with their position as the industry leader, enough so that they can start taking risks again. They need not play it as safe as they once did. I think since 2001, there has never been a more interesting time to be watching WWE than right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, since the whole... Don't get me wrong. I love seeing the stunts and the skits with Vince McMahon, but that guy's getting up there. That guy needs to be the behind-the-scenes guy. He doesn't need to be having potential future president Donald Trump and Bobby Lashley shave his head. It's just one of those things where I, as a viewer of the stuff, after about 6 months of the authority, I got bored. I'm like, okay, we need to do something else now, please. And now that they had this whole thing with Shane coming back and everything else and the Raw and SmackDown brand split, I watch both shows now. I actively, you know, because I'm one of those cord cutters for TV, so I have Netflix and Hulu. So for SmackDown and Raw, I watch it essentially Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And I watch both shows all the way through now that they're each creating their own brand. Because as I said earlier, SmackDown to me has always been where the B and C listers go. Like every now and then they would throw an A-lister on there, but it's always been this joke show. And I think now they're really trying to build it up. And I think that's good for them. And some of the stuff I read about Chikara, I noticed that you guys had worked with CM Punk. Would you like to talk about that a little bit before we kind of close this out?
Not particularly, no.
Okay. All right. Is there anything that you want to promote that you guys have coming up? Anything that you want my listeners to pay attention to, you know, right now?
Sure. We're constantly on tour, it seems. We tour at least two-thirds of the United States, and we come to Canada and England at least once a year, so we might be coming near you. But it's really easy to join up with us on social media between Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, etc. We're Chikara Pro on Facebook and Twitter, and we have a new official channel, we're Chikara Live on YouTube, where we put out tons and tons of free content. If anything I've had to say makes you think you might even be the tiniest bit interested, come stick your foot in the pool. I assure you the water is fine, and there's a very welcoming community of people there that'll help get you up to speed if, as I mentioned, you feel the least bit daunted by all our continuity. But ultimately, I think this message gets lost, and I had a chance to really re-experience this back in February when I visited the WWE and did some work for them at their performance center. We, when we are wrestling fans, often imagine that the people who make professional wrestling are not also fans of it. And you might have even heard stories or anecdotes that support that. One thing I can assure you, at Chikara, the wrestling that's being made for you is made by people who love the art form as much as you do. It's made with care and it's made with love, and you'll see that attention to detail that you often don't see when, you know, unfortunately, a giant hulking conglomerate that's got to produce 12 plus hours of original content every single week. They can't possibly have that level of quality control over what they do, or they're never going to hit their deadlines. It's a little boutique-y. It's a little bit at the end of the rack at Baskin-Robbins, but it might be a flavor of ice cream you will learn to like. Jump on. We're chikarapro.com online.
What is the next event you guys have coming up?
We'll be live this Saturday from our home base, our training facility in Northeast Philadelphia. That's where we train professional wrestlers, the Wrestle Factory. And in fact, we have new beginners classes as well, even bite-sized 7-week classes. If you were ever interested just to get in the ring, to hit the ropes, to see what it was like, to see if you might have what it takes to pursue it, or even if you just wanted to do it as a hobby, check out our beginner level classes. 101 classes are forming constantly at the Wrestle Factory. We'll be live there this Saturday, September 17th, with an event called The Black Goodbye.
Awesome. I would like to thank Mike Quackenbush from Chikara Pro for taking the time to chat with me here on Mayhem Mikes for Geekcast Radio Network and This Week in Geek. I'll ask you to hold the line. And I'll be back in a minute, folks, after this.
You're the next one in line for the kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Stop, no! I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Stop breaking the minute inside you. Stop making some moves to hire you. I'm breaking the minute inside you. Stop making some moves to hire you. I'm breaking the minute inside you. Stop making some moves to hire you. I'm breaking the minute inside you. You live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Step up, cause you're the next one in line for the kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Step up, I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Stop breaking the minute inside you. Stop making some more to hide you. I'm breaking the minute.
All right, folks, TFU and Mike here. I'm back. I want to thank Mike Quackenbush from Chikara Pro once again for taking the time to chat with me here on Mayhem Mikes on the Geekcast Radio Network and This Week in Geek. Coming up, we're going to have episode 14, I believe, of Mayhem Mikes, which will be backlashing the Clash of Champions. We're going to talk about SmackDown's first pay-per-view Backlash and Raw's first pay-per-view in the new split brand kind of era own storyline thing. Here's the thing, folks. I'm going out of town. Actually, as of this airing, I've got a week before I've got to go to California for a vacation, a much-needed vacation. So, as always, we usually wait until we have two pay-per-views under our belt, so Clash of Champions in a couple weeks. We'll get to that when we get to that. What I'd like to do right now is put out a call to you guys. Crunchman61, anybody else that pays attention to Mayhem Mikes, we need a catchphrase to close the show. Generally, at the end of every show, I ask, you know, okay, Mike Dodd, where can people find you on social media? Ryan, where can people find you? And then I tell you where you can find me on social media. But I feel that the show needs a catchphrase to end it out. Something cool, something fun, something unique. Also, with Backlash, SmackDown Live's first pay-per-view, they used the theme song from the former Emphatic group, now Through Fire, Stronger. I'm going to be using the instrumental part of that song is the outro to most of the Mayhem Mike's episodes for now, because we don't actually have an outro. I usually, when we do the pay-per-view reviews, I usually just throw a quote or a line from whatever that pay-per-view is, but I kind of want an outro song, and I really dig Through Fire Stronger, so that's what I'm going to use here to close this out. That's what I'm going to use to close out episode 14. Thank you to everybody who has been paying attention to Mayhem Mikes over the last year or so. We've got 13 episodes, and this, our first interview. As I said a moment ago, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to Mike Quackenbush. We will have him on again in the future, because I would love to see Mike and Ryan pick his brain as well. I guess, for Mayhem Mikes, the time is now? I don't know. We need a catchphrase, damn it. Send any and all feedback to feedback@geekcastradio.com.